Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is Side 2 of For the Record program number 725, Leak This, Wiki Spooks and the World of Stig Larsson. This program is being recorded on October 9th of the year 2010. We've been talking about the WikiLeaks network, and specifically, we've been following up on information that we began accessing in For the Record 724, Wiki of the Damned, and it's liberation psychology notwithstanding, the available evidence suggests very strongly that WikiLeaks is an intelligence operation of some kind. There may very well be more than one intelligence agency involved, but the evidence suggests that its overall orientation is one of reaction, if not outright fascism, and although it's been hostile to American military, which leads some people to think this is some sort of progressive organization. I think as we get into side two, the true nature of WikiLeaks is going to become only too evident. Obviously, there are many intelligence connections to this particular network, and we're going to plunge right in. We concluded side one by taking a look at how Julian Assange himself, a criminal hacker, got a wrist slap by Australian authorities. That would suggest that some sort of deal was cut. And indeed, I've noted that the cult, which I believe Julian Assange was deeply involved with, he maintains his connections were tangential. I think the evidence argues in the other direction. But the family cult, not to be confused with a right-wing Christian organization or an organization that was publicized by Joaquin Phoenix, the actor, this organization appears to be an intelligence front of some kind, a deadly mind control cult with very powerful links. At one point, they were running their own psychiatric hospital. People were being experimented on there, and they appear to be implementing their adherence with a deep, deep form of mind control. And as we looked at in For the Record 724, at one point, one of the people who was being cared for by the group, the aunties in this group of Anne Hamilton Byrne, were being trained as nurses, which is really interesting because nurses could do all kinds of things from killing people who were in their care to obtaining tissue samples, medical information, which would be of tremendous use in a political context. So having a lot of nurses around, the quote aunties unquote of this cult, would itself be very, very interesting, particularly in light of the fact that that cult almost certainly has intelligence links. And at one point they were caring, these quote aunties unquote, for caring for the British, for the Australian parliamentary member, basically the British minister, who was in charge of overseeing the Australian intelligence service. So that makes the following claim, the fact that Julian Assange, a criminal hacker, got off awfully light, that makes the following very, very interesting indeed. This is an article from MSNBC.com, and it's about the reopening of sexual criminal charges into Julian Assange in Sweden. More about the Swedish connection in just a minute. This is a Reuters story, and it reads in part, a top Swedish prosecutor said on Wednesday she was reopening an investigation into rape allegations against Julian Assange, the founder of whistleblowing website WikiLeaks. Assange has denied the charges, which a lower official had withdrawn 2 weeks ago, and said he had been warned by Australian intelligence that he could face a campaign to discredit him after leaking the documents. Again, bearing in mind the links of the Anne Hamilton Byrne cult to Australian intelligence described earlier. And again, as we looked at in For the Record 724, Julian Assange claims he spent several years of his life fleeing from this cult because his mother had gotten involved with a member of it, had birthed a child by this fellow, and there was a custody struggle that basically resulted in this group, resulted in Julian and his mother fleeing for a period of many years. And interestingly, Julian says the cult always found a way of locating them. Well, I wonder if that might have been because Julian was actually part of that cult. Then, interestingly enough, following another brutal custody struggle in which Julian Assange was fighting for custody of his own daughter, Then, according to Julian's mother, his hair turned white as a result of the trauma. That peculiar platinum blonde slash white color of the hair is characteristic of members of this cult who have their hair dyed. Again, we looked at that in For the Record 724. I suspect very strongly that Julian Assange is strongly linked to that cult, and that the accounts of his fleeing the cult and also the interesting account of his hair turning white after a brutal custody struggle are modified limited hangout meant to sanitize him if and when his links to the cult come out. Again, look at the pictures that are in the written description for For the Record 724. It's quite striking, the platinum blonde, dyed blonde hair of the members of this cult. Now, going back to this MSNBC slash Reuters story, skipping down, Director of Public Prosecutions Marianne Nye said she decided to reopen the investigation against Assange after further review of the case. Quote, "There is reason to believe that a crime has been committed. Considering information available at present, my judgment is that the classification of the crime is rape," unquote, Nye said in a statement on the prosecution authority's website. "More investigations are necessary before a final decision can be made," she added. She also said a preliminary investigation into charges of molestation would be expanded to sexual coercion and sexual molestation. Note the expanding of the charges to sexual coercion and sexual molestation. Again, I have more questions than answers about the criminal charges against Julian Assange. But one of the things I find very, very interesting is that the Swedish landing place, so to speak, for WikiLeaks has some very, very interesting links indeed. The following is from The Local. That's a blog spot for Sweden. This is from April 9th of 2010, or this spring. Police powerless to close pedophile forums. Despite a new law designed to tackle grooming of young people by suspected pedophiles on internet websites, police are unable to act against those hosting chat forums, contact sites, and advice pages. Quote, "The so-called grooming law, which came into force last July, forbids sexually motivated contact with children over the internet. But the adult has to take some sort of initiative in that contact for it to be an offense, to arrange a date, buy a train ticket, or such like," unquote, said Jonas Persson of the Swedish police to The Local on Friday. In the 6 months after the law was adopted, the police received only 100 reports, despite the fact that more than half of Swedish girls aged 15 to 17 claimed to have been subjected to grooming attempts by adults over the internet before reaching the age of 15, according to a National Council for Crime Prevention report from 2007. The law does not allow for the closure of websites for the prosecution of those behind them. Jonas Persson explained why. Quote, "I don't think a tightening of the legislation is desirable. It would come dangerously close to encroaching on freedom of expression legislation," unquote, he said. Legal obligations for those behind websites visited by suspected pedophiles and would-be groomers extend only to the removal of pictures and films which feature minors or the publication of personal information. The Local has received information that a man resident in Stockholm is alleged to be behind a chat forum serving as a contact point for pedophiles and hosted by PRQ, a Swedish web hosting firm run by Pirate Bay co-founders Gottfried Svarholm Varg and Friedrich Nage, and also noted for hosting the WikiLeaks whistleblower website. Anti-pedophilia activists claim to have made attempts to persuade PRQ to close the man's website, but to no avail. So note that this pedophile website is basically being hosted by PRQ, a web hosting firm run by Pirate Bay co-founders Gottfried Svartholm Varg and Friedrich Nage, and they're hosting this pedophile chat forum as well as WikiLeaks. Now, this brings us to a very interesting link indeed. Pirate Bay is a music downloading website, and as we looked at in a miscellaneous news and supplemental article, and also in For the Record 707, the main man behind Pirate Bay, the main financier, is a Swedish Nazi named Carl Lundstrom, who, as we're going to see, is also a fellow financing candidates for the Swedish equivalent of the BNP, the Sweden Democrats, who for the first time were seated in parliament in a recent Swedish election, and who are being seen as possible kingmakers in the Swedish parliamentary system. This is from the British Register of February 26th of 2009. It reads in part, it's titled, it's about Carl Lundstrom, the Pirate Bay neo-Nazi patron. The trial of the Pirate Bay operators in Sweden has generated huge amounts of media coverage, but one of the most interesting things about Pirate Bay hasn't gotten a mention. In his daily dispatches for Wired, court correspondent Oscar Schwartz swoons over the boyish charm of likable and winning, unquote, Pirate Bay PR guy Peter Sund, S-U-N-D-E. But there seems to be something about Pirate Bay that no one wants you to read. It's debt to one of the most notorious fascists in Europe. Regular readers will already know a little about Carl Lundstrom's background, but as Andrew Brown, author of the autobiographical Fishing in Utopia, points out, no English language coverage of the trial has mentioned this. Thanks to Brown's blog, we know a little more about Lundstrom. For example, Lundstrom was linked to a gang of skinheads that attacked Latin American tourists in Stockholm in the mid-1980s. Over the years, Lundstrom has switched his support from Keep Sweden Swedish to the far-right Headbangers Party New Democracy, but was thrown out for being too right-wing. He's currently bankrolling 100 candidates for the Swedish equivalent of the BNP, that is the Sweden Democrats, more about them later. Lundstrom is alleged to own 40% of the Pirate Bay, the largest share, and note this, gave it servers and bandwidth to get going. And these are the servers currently hosting WikiLeaks and also the Swedish pedophile forum. I wonder if there may be a link between the Swedish pedophile forum, WikiLeaks presence on that server, and also the Australian intelligence cult that we were looking at. One of the things that we looked at in 724 was the fact that the poor kids who grow up in this cult are subjected to brutal sexual molestation and just some really hard, basically forms of torture, being undergoing sensory deprivation and then being stabbed and sexually molested while under the effects of LSD. It's pretty horrible stuff. Sexual molestation can be used as an element of mind control, the ritual mind control, ritual molestation can be used as an element of mind control. We've taken a look at that in some of the AFA programs about mind control, and one should note that the techniques practiced by that Australian cult involve molestation, and note the charges against Julian Assange. Is he involved in some way with some of these networks in Sweden? Certainly, the Pirate Bay network is financed in considerable measure by one of Europe's most notorious fascists, the aforementioned Carl Lundstrom. This is not the only link between Pirate Bay and WikiLeaks. And one of the interesting things about Pirate Bay, too, is that Pirate Bay has its own political party called the Pirate Party. It has branches in Sweden, of course. More about that in a minute. And it has a branch in Germany where the Wow Holland Foundation is. That's the nonprofit that is handling donations for WikiLeaks and that has links to, among other institutions, apparently, the BND, the German Intelligence Service. The following is more. This is about the German branch or the German manifestation of the local blog. The Pirate Party in Germany actually had a seated member in the German parliament. That was a guy named Jürg Taus. However, he was ousted after he was convicted of possessing child pornography. This from the local again. Taus leaves Pirate Party after child pornography conviction. Former parliamentarian Jörg Taus, the most prominent member of the German Pirate Party, has resigned from the party following his conviction for possessing child pornography last week. 2 days after the Karlsruhe District Court handed the 56-year-old a 15-month suspended sentence, Taus said on Sunday that he would leave the party to avoid damaging its reputation, saying his presence would be, quote, counterproductive, unquote. And so that is it, a very, very interesting thing indeed. At one point, Taus was a member of the Left Social Democratic Party. But that change, he then became part of the Pirate Party. That is an international political party associated with Pirate Bay. And the Pirate Party has sponsored WikiLeaks' presence in Sweden. This is the full URL for this particular posting will be in the description for the record 725. And this is talking about the underground nuclear bunker that now hosts WikiLeaks in Sweden, courtesy of the Swedish Pirate Party. And the following is, again, the URL for this will be available in the description for the record 75. One of the world's most controversial websites now has one of the world's coolest data centers. Andy Greenberg at Forbes has picked up on a Norwegian report that WikiLeaks servers are now hosted in Sweden's Pionen data center, housed inside a Cold War-era underground nuclear bunker. 30 meters below Stockholm, it reportedly has a single entrance with half-meter-thick metal doors. The move has been initiated by the Swedish Pirate Party, who began looking after WikiLeaks hosting this month. Quote, "We have long admired WikiLeaks," the Pirate Party's Rick Falkvinge told Norway's VG, claiming that as his party is hosting WikiLeaks, an attack on WikiLeaks is also regarded as an attack on a political party. Gossip blog Gawker has today launched, and this is another interesting aspect of this post, Gossip blog Gawker has today launched WikiLeaksLeaks.org in an attempt to rake up stories about the little-discussed internal operations at the organization. Among the stories it's looking for are documents relating to Julian Assange's Swedish sexual molestation case. So note that the Swedish Pirate Party is hosting WikiLeaks. Their servers are the PRQ Pirate Bay servers, and the financier of that is Carl Lundström, who is also the leading financier of candidates by the Sweden Democrats, the Swedish, they would probably call themselves nationalist or far right. It's actually the Swedish Fascist Party, or one of them. And note they're financed by Carl Lundström. One of the things that we looked at in connection with Carl Lundström, this in For the Record 707, that is the fact that he got his wealth from selling the family food business to the Sandoz Corporation. Sandoz, of course, is the best known as the maker of LSD. It's part of the old IG Farben complex, the IG Farben chemical cartel. It was the backbone of the Third Reich and also the foundation of the post-war underground Reich. And believe me, this I know how crazy this will sound to newer listeners. What is he talking about? Check the website. Check the book Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile by Paul Manning, a protege and colleague of Edward R. Murrow's. And that'll help to flesh out your understanding in that particular regard. One of the things we noted in our discussions in For the Record 724 is that according to Sarah Moore, one of the apostate members of the Ann Hamilton Byrne cult, LSD was provided free to that cult by Sandoz. So, what is the real affiliation of that cult? Is it Underground Reich? Is it some element of British intelligence? Both? Who is penetrating who? Is it Underground Reich penetrating British intelligence? Is it the other way around? Who knows? But note that Carl Lundström sold his business to his family's wafer business to Sandoz. That gave him the money to begin financing Swedish fascism, which he is doing. And note that the Swedish pedophile forum is on the PRQ servers that also are provided by Pirate Bay and that also are hosting WikiLeaks. And note that WikiLeaks is being sponsored by the Pirate Party. That is an outgrowth of Pirate Bay financed by Carl Lundström. One of the interesting things about this, and as we noted in For the Record 707, as well as a miscellaneous post in the news and supplemental section, one of the interesting things about Swedish fascism is that it is being featured in a very prominent way on the world's artistic stage at this moment. Specifically, A series of Swedish films have been made out of the Millennium Trilogy of Stieg Larsson, the late Stieg Larsson, whose death on the anniversary of Die Kristallnacht is something we looked at in For the Record 707 and also in that miscellaneous post. Stieg Larsson's novels, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, The Girl Who Played with Fire, and The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest, are subsumed under the Millennium Trilogy. In Sweden, they're marketed under the name of Men Who Hate Women. And one of the interesting things about this, as noted in the a Christopher Hitchens article about Stieg Larsson and his death, is from Vanity Fair, a section of the Swedish Christopher Hitchens article about Stieg Larsson reads as follows: "I also know someone with excellent contacts in the Swedish police and security world who assures me that everything described in the Millennium novels actually took place. And apparently Larsson planned to write as many as 10 in all, so you can see how many people here could think he might not have died but have been stopped," unquote. In For the Record 707, we also looked at the fact that Stieg Larsson the Nazis in Sweden have strong links to the Swedish intelligence service. They would certainly know about how to precipitate an apparent heart attack. One of the interesting things about the Millennium novels, they are enjoying huge distribution, huge popularity in the United States, as are the films. There's also going to be a series of Hollywood films made out of the same movies. But I would encourage people to go see the various films coming out about the Stieg Larsson novels, derived from the Stieg Larsson novels: The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, The Girl Who Played with Fire, and The Girl who Kicked the Hornet's Nest. Read the books, see the movies, because what that is real. That is reality portrayed as fiction to protect the guilty, or perhaps to protect the authors from retribution. In Stieg Larsson's case, it appears not to have been successful. Again, quoting, though, from the Christopher Hitchens piece about Stieg Larsson: "In the Larsson universe, the nasty trolls and hulking ogres are bent Swedish capitalists, cold-faced Baltic sex traffickers, blue-eyed Viking-Aryan Nazis, and other Nordic riffraff who might have had their reasons to whack him." Note what he says: bent Swedish capitalists, cold-faced Baltic sex traffickers, and blue-eyed Viking-Aryan Nazis, and other Nordic riffraff who might have had their reasons to whack him. His best excuse for his own prurience is that these serial killers and torture fanciers are practicing a form of capitalism, and that their racket is protected by a pornographic alliance with a form of fascism, its lower ranks made up of hideous bikers and meth runners. This is not just sex or crime, it's politics. Yes, indeed. You note another John Young observation. John Young, one of the founders of WikiLeaks and a critic of it. This from an interview conducted with him by the BBC. BBC, what do you think about WikiLeaks being based in a country which will protect it from takedown? Cryptome: there is no place where a takedown cannot occur. The distribution system for communication can always be blocked and servers confiscated. Only multiple, growing, and changing public outlets for prohibited information can offer a chance of avoiding shutdown, demonization, corruption through finance and bribery, and organized, orchestrated distrust. BBC: what do you think about security of websites and communication on the Internet? Cryptome: there is none that is not superficial and illusory. Security and or privacy policy for the Internet and digital communication are not credible. Digital communication should be seen as a spying machine. The Internet is a magnificently appealing means to gather data on its bewitched users for harvesting by governments, commerce, institutions, and individuals, but especially by the providers of Internet services, distribution systems, and equipment. BBC: why are you so paranoid about the Internet, and what do you think is possible for its use in providing more public information? Cryptome: skepticism, not paranoia, about the Internet and digital communication is self-protective because their managers and operators are inaccessible to public scrutiny under claims of secrecy. So, again, John Young is very skeptical about the Internet, though not opposed to it, or skeptical about security. Note how skeptical he is that the current country of residence for WikiLeaks, Sweden, is going to protect them. Of course, there are links between the Swedish fascist milieu and the Swedish intelligence service. Now, note what was in the article, the Register article about Carl Lundström. He's the main financier of the candidates of the Sweden Democrats. From the BBC of September 20th of this year, Swedish voters react to far-right gains. A far-right anti-immigration party in Sweden has won seats in parliament for the first time, denying the governing center-right coalition an overall majority. The Sweden Democrats won 20 of the 349 seats in the country's assembly in Sunday's general election. Here, voters in Sweden react to the results and debate the significance of the Sweden Democrats' gains. And so note that the Sweden Democrats gained seats in parliament for the first time under an anti-immigrant platform. One of the interesting things is that there are links between the underground Reich and the Muslim Brotherhood Islamists, who are in many ways spurring European reaction and the rebirth, reemergence of European fascism at a populist slash street level. And the Islamist presence, the Islamist presence in Europe, is one of the things that is spurring the growth of parties like the Sweden Democrats. So note, and by the way, in the description of this program, I'm going to note articles that are positing the Sweden Democrats as possible coalition makers in the Swedish parliamentary democratic system. They are bankrolled primarily by Carl Lundström, the Swedish fascist financier of Pirate Bay, and that Pirate Bay is the auspices basically under which WikiLeaks is now operating. So when considering the highly sensitive information that WikiLeaks gets, including operational plans by the U.S. military, social security numbers of active duty U.S. military personnel, note also the information about pedophiles and sex trafficking, that also could be of tremendous use to a Nazi political machine, given very, very sensitive information indeed. And note that basically everything that is portrayed in the Stieg Larsson's novels is real. And with WikiLeaks, in a sense, we're seeing the merging of the Stieg Larsson novels with reality, the reality that they in fact portray. We're going to conclude with the following item. Although WikiLeaks has been regarded with great favor by the so-called progressive sector, note my choice of words, note that it was WikiLeaks that was the vehicle for downloading the emails on the East Anglia climate research, and that spurred a huge attack on the credibility of global warming. Note the following. This is from an article by the LA Times. Stephen H. Schneider dies at 65, Stanford expert on climate change, by Elaine Wu, from July 20th of this year. Stephen H. Schneider, a Stanford University biologist on the vanguard of climate change research for four decades, who argued eloquently on human culpability and global warming and willingly threw himself into the political fray to explain and defend the scientific evidence, has died. He was 65. Schneider had a heart attack Monday while flying to London from a science meeting in Stockholm, according to Stanford spokesman Dan Stober. Santer and Schneider were among the scientists who served on the international panel that shared the 2007 Nobel Peace Prize with former Vice President Al Gore, who in a statement Monday called Schneider a prolific researcher, an author, and a wonderful communicator, whose contributions to the advancement of climate science will be sorely missed, unquote. He, Schneider, said he received hundreds of abusive emails from critics, particularly since the Copenhagen Climate Change Summit in December. A few weeks ago, he told the London Guardian newspaper that his name was among those of several climatologists that appeared earlier this year on a death list on a neo-Nazi website. He died of an apparent heart attack flying to London from a science meeting in Stockholm. Might he have gotten the Stieg Larsson treatment? And again, note that it was WikiLeaks that leaked the East Anglia documents. More about this in the description for the Record 725. However, this concludes Side 2 of For the Record program number 725. Leak This, Wiki Spooks and the World of Stieg Larsson. This is being recorded on October 9th of the year 2010. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.